This is truly a remarkable story in the Gospel of Matthew. We already had many times in other Gospels, and actually in previously in Matthew, where Jesus calms a storm. But there is nothing like it this until now. Never before in the entire history of the Bible, entire history of the world, has someone walked on water. This is a remarkable event, following right after another remarkable event that Jesus has done, feeding the 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is such a great event, and it has been used throughout history as a wonderful message of how Jesus is calming the storms in our lives, how he invites us to join him over the stormy waters. But as I kept reading this story, as I kept dissecting it, meditating on it, and thinking about it throughout this week, I realize that the walking on the water isn't all that miraculous. I realize that Peter walking on water isn't really that amazing. There's something more amazing that is happening here in this story, as hard as that is to believe. Matthew has actually set this up almost like a play. We have two distinct sides, and it all begins immediately, right after the feeding of the 5,000. This didn't happen a couple hours after Jesus fed these people. It doesn't happen days or weeks, like sometimes in the Bible where the miracles of Jesus are spaced out. Nope. This happens immediately after. Jesus is done feeding the 5,000, and he immediately tells his disciples to go prepare the boat and go to the other side, and when he dismisses the crowds. Now, this is pretty big, because the disciples wanted Jesus to dismiss the crowds and not serve them food. But now Jesus says to his disciples, you go on ahead, and then I'll dismiss the crowds. What this does is we're now seeing a distance being put between Jesus and the disciples. A distance that's going to continue to grow as the story goes on. After Jesus dismisses the crowds, he goes up to a mountaintop to pray. Why does he do this? Well, remember, it's immediately following the feeding of the 5,000. Immediately after Jesus has learned of his cousin John's death. Jesus hasn't had properly time to grieve, to mourn the loss of one of his family members. He went immediately defeating the people. He needs time to process, to reflect, time to pray to his father. And so he goes up to a mountain. Hours pass, and it's evening. And as Jesus looks out, the weather has become pretty stormy. He looks out and he sees the disciples pretty far away from shore, battling against the wind and wave. So he goes out and meets them. Now, contrary to popular belief, the disciples actually know what they're doing. Matthew gives us absolutely no reason to think that the disciples were having trouble on the lake. These men were primarily fishermen. They have seen a heavy storm. And actually, Matthew gives us before this, when Jesus calms the wind and the waves, they couldn't handle it, and they actually said to Jesus, can you save us? I mean, it's a little choppy water. Yes, it's pretty scary, but the disciples here know what they're doing. The storm here isn't the problem. There's something else wrong. The separation is there. The disciples are all the way out on the lake, far away from Christ. And Jesus comes now walking toward them on the lake. It's a miraculous sign. It's a miraculous thing. This is the man, Jesus, who is God and man, who has created the seas, who created all this world. And now he walks upon his very creation. Not only does he walk upon the land, but he walks upon the water, coming directly from the direction that the feeding of the 5,000 happened. The Lord of creation comes and meets his disciples. They see him coming from where they have been, and they're afraid. To me, that always seems strange. Who do you not know this guy coming toward you is? I mean, you just saw Jesus feed 5,000 men and women, or 5,000 men besides women and children. You have seen him drive out demons, heal the sick. You have seen him do miraculous and wonderful signs. You've seen him calm a storm even greater than the one that you are experiencing right now. And yet when the disciples have looked out upon the water, they're afraid. They are scared out of their mind. Not because of the storm raging around them, but because they see a guy walking on the water, they don't know who it is, and they say, "It's a ghost!" And they cry out in fear. See that separation? It's even bigger now. Not only was a separation there from distance-wise, but Matthew has shown us there's a distance spiritually, emotionally, from Christ's disciples and Christ himself. So what does Jesus do? He says to them, because they don't know who he is, he says, "It is I." Because they are afraid, he says, "Take heart. Do not be afraid." It's wonderful. Jesus could have condemned his disciples for their unbelief. He could have condemned them and say, "Why didn't you believe?" But all he said, "It is I. Do not be afraid." We see that gap close a little bit. And then it goes right back to being wide. Peter is a very interesting disciple. He's had his high moments. He's had his low moments. And to be honest, in Matthew, he has a lot more low moments than high moments. And this is probably a big low moment for Peter. He says to him, "Lord, if it is you..." Excuse me? "If it is you..." This guy just told you who he was, and you are daring to say to the Lord of all creation, "Lord, if it is you?" Oh, he doesn't stop there. He then goes and says to test God, "Lord, if it is you, command me to walk on the waters with you." Oh boy, I'd be scared out of my mind. Who is this guy off to tell the Lord of creation if it is actually him? If it actually is who he says who he was? Once again, these disciples have known Jesus for a pretty decent amount of time by now. Do you think they would actually know who this guy was? And yet here Peter stands and says, "Lord, if it is you." Once again, Jesus could have responded any number of ways. If I was Jesus, I would say, "Of course it's me. Just, what are you thinking? It's me. I'm walking on water here. What more proof do you need?" But no. All Jesus says is one word, one command. Come. And so Peter descends off the boat. He begins walking on the water. It's amazing. It's wonderful. Something like this hasn't happened. And it's scary because there's lots of wind. He's walking on water. Man was not supposed to do this. What's going on here? I don't know what's going on. I doubt the guy in front of me is my Lord. And he sinks down into the water. And Jesus comes grabs Peter, thrusts him out of the water, and says to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" We see a distance here. It's not a distance that's measured in length. It's a distance measured in doubt. It's a distance measured in unbelief. It's a distance measured in faith. The story is humbling. It makes us look at each and one of our own lives, at our own doubts, at our own faith. And there are times when we have good faith. There are times when our faith is as strong and as large as a mountain, where we can see and look out into the world and see God's hand in everything. And these moments are precious for us. And if we want to admit, they usually happen when we're having a good day. We can see the Lord's hand at work when our boss can give us a nice promotion. We see God's handiwork in that. We see God's handiwork when a loved one is cured of a disease. We see God's handiwork in all of that. When we see our kids succeeding, going off to college and pursuing greater careers, we see God's hand at work in their lives. When we go off and just go out into a community, and we can go out and see God's amazing work as we change the lives around us, our faith is as big and as strong as a mountain. There is no doubt. But more often than not, for myself included, I don't see that. All I see is what was evident this week. See, it's easy to see God in everything that we say and do when everything is going right. It's easy to see God and have little doubts when everything in our lives are going okay. But what about when you don't get that promotion and you're fired? Do you see God? What about if you go and you prepare for a test? And you prepare all night for it, weeks upon weeks, studying for it. You go and you sit down, you take the test to the best of your ability, and you fail. Where's God in that? What if you go and have been with a family member who's been faithful, who has done everything worldly correct in the eyes of his peers and of God, and you see him not getting better, but falling worse and worse and worse in disease until death? Do you see God then? Do you see the Lord of creation walking upon the water toward you? I know when I've seen these things, when I've seen a family member strong in the faith die too early, I didn't see God. I saw a ghost. And I was cried out in fear because I doubted. We look upon the world and it's hard not to doubt. Threats of war, violence in our own country. It's hard not to have doubts. Where is God in all of this? Where is the God who walks upon the waters, who feeds the multitudes, who made creation? Where are you in all of this? We doubt. But this event, the walking on the water, shows exactly what Christ does when his people doubt. He doesn't condemn them. He doesn't say, "Excuse me, is if it is me." All he does is when the doubts come, the anxieties wash over us, and we feel like we're drowning in this life, he comes and picks us up. Not because we were such great faith, Not because we were so great into following him out of the boat, but because he sees us panicking, he sees us drowning, he comes, he drags us up, and he saves us. He did this for Peter, who dared to question him. How much more would he do it for us? He did it for us because he loves us. When he says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" It is a rebuke, because this is the one who says, "I will be with you always to the very end of the age." This is the one, even though we didn't deserve it, he came to our world, became one of us, who experienced everything that we would feel, who experienced the loss of a loved one so keenly that he had to separate himself, who experienced the pain of being shunned because of who he was by his own family members and by the people who loved him. He understood every single bit of what makes us human. And he did it because he loves us. So that he came to this world and he said, for those who have been destroyed by sin, for those who have been completely overwhelmed by this world, look to me and I will save you. For I came upon this world and I died upon the cross so that sin may not overwhelm you, so that this world's troubles are put to death upon me. And he came to save us when we were drowning, when in the sorrow of the deep darkness of death, he came and said, there is no more of that. In me, I have came and rescued you, have dragged you out from death, and have brought you into life through my resurrection. This is the God who walks upon the waters, who made creation. He comes to us, even in our doubt, even when the world is in turmoil. He says, I am here. Even if you doubt, even if you don't believe, even if you question, I am here and I will pull you out. Not because you've had such great faith, but because of that little faith. Because you need me and I will be there for you. Each one of us has had doubts, immeasurable, uncountable ones. I have doubted more times than I would like to admit if I'm actually called to be a servant of God. I've doubted whether or not God hears me when I cry out. Thanks be to God. Because he's taken those doubts and he says to me and to all of us, so you of little faith, why do you doubt? I am here. I am Lord of creation. I have walked upon this earth, upon its very waters, and I did it for you. I did it because I love you. I did it because even when the world becomes stormy, even when your faith may wane and waver, I will be there for you. I will come to you when called, and I will come and rescue you from your doubts, from the anxieties of this world. The disciples recognize this. At the end of the story, they go at the conclusion and praise Jesus as the Son of God. Let us praise him who calms storms, braves creation for us. Let us worship him who comes and grabs us from our doubts, who does say to us, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" I am here in everything that happens. I am here. Amen.